بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, we will be looking at continuing with the topic of اتباع or اتباع العلم بالعمل, يعني following knowledge with action, by Sheikh Abdul Salam Ibn Burgess Ali Abdul Karim رحمه الله. Last week, because of some personal difficulties, I didn't have a chance to prepare a study guide for the class last week. But so as not to miss out on some of those points, at least we should be aware that these are some of the matters that you didn't have a chance to answer during the week. But inshallah, we just look at them quickly now, any passing through them. A person can go back and look at your notes, look at the text of the book or whatever, and find any most of the answers for what is here. On the back side of the study guide, there's a study guide number 2. That's for tonight's class. Tonight, alhamdulillah, next week you'll be responsible. All right, for tonight, inshallah, you get a pass. So our topic, اتباع العلم بالعمل, yani following knowledge with action, by Sheikh Abdul Salam Ibn Burgess Ibn Nasser Ali Abdul Karim rahimahullah, is a follow-up from the previous discussion that we had from the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in which he mentioned 5 major matters, which are asbab al-mu'ina ala tahsil al-ilm. 5 yani means that will help a person to acquire knowledge. And from amongst those 5 things, he mentioned al-maqsood min al-ilm, yani the real objective of knowledge is to act upon it. So out of those 5 things, we couldn't concentrate in detail on every one of them. So I thought that because of that statement from an imam, from the imams of Ahl Sunnah, that the very purpose, the objective of knowledge is to act upon it, I thought at least that we should take some time to look at this particular matter. And one of his students, Sheikh Abdul Salam, and he has discussed this issue in a little bit of detail, and not complete detail, but he mentioned some important points. 6 benefits that a person can acquire or achieve or obtain by following up the knowledge that they have acquired with action. He mentioned 6 points. Last week we mentioned 2 of them. It was my hope to mention 3 of them last week and 3 this week, but in any case it is as Allah decreed it to be. But we mentioned 2 of them last week and we'll continue this week. The study guide that I didn't prepare last week, I gave it to you today just as a guide to help you and to see some of the important points that we did discuss last week, and I'll just look at them very, very quickly. The first question from study guide for last week's session was mentioned the author, rahimahullah, his name, including his father's name and his family name. And some of you may know his name, I just got finished mentioning it a couple of times, right? Abdul Salam Ibn Burgess Ibn Nasser Ali Abdul Karim. As far as his second question mentioned the year and place of his birth, year and place of birth and year of his death. Ilham,
Fadl. He was born in 1387.
Naam, born in 1387.
Born in Riyadh.
Riyadh.
And he died in 1425.
And he died in 1425. Naam, mashallah. Good. That's even better. Mention his formal education and the 2 most distinguished scholars that he studied with. And his formal education was all in the city of Riyadh. Anybody remember anything from his formal education? And his primary education was in the primary school system in Riyadh. In high school, he went to the Mahad Ilmi, the Institute for specialized in religious knowledge. After that, he did his bachelor's degree in Kuliyat al-Sharia in Jamiat al-Imam. And then he did his master's and PhD degree in the Institute, the High Institute for Qudat, for judges. Question number 3, question number 4, title of this topic in Arabic or English, and the main reason why the author chose this topic. Title in Arabic, anybody? Talib? Itba'u Amal. Itba' al-ilm bil amal. What is it in English? What is the meaning of this in English?
Following up knowledge with action.
Naam.
I don't know, I'm not sure if you said it or not, but number three, the most distinguished scholars?
I didn't. Two most distinguished scholars that he studied with. Now, one of them. Now. Okay, Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Ibaz, Rahimullah's main teacher. Naam Zakaria. Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah. Is there any more study guides left?
Yeah?
Yeah. Naam. Tayyib, Jazakallah Khair. Question number five. Discuss the manhaj of learning Quran reflected in the statement of Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami, Rahimahullah. And in summary, what is the manhaj? What was the manhaj of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in? Naam.
They would memorize 10 ayahs and learn the meanings and act upon them.
Naam.
And then they move on to the next.
They would learn 10 ayat at a time, and they wouldn't go beyond them until they, yani, learned their meanings, learned them, understood them well, and acted upon them. So he said they, jama'a bayna al-ilm wal-amal ma'ahu. Yani, they combined between knowledge and along with that knowledge, action. Question number six. Discuss the first benefit mentioned by the author of following ilm with knowledge, of following ilm, knowledge with amal, actions. The first benefit that he mentioned, naam, fadlu, Adam.
As an outward display of Allah's favors and blessings.
Naam, that a person who acts upon the knowledge, this is an outward display, manifestation of Allah's ni'mah, of Allah's fadl on that person, that he has given them knowledge, yani, to the exclusion of many, many other people. And the manifestation of Allah's ni'mah, yani, the visual observation of it, is that a person who has been given knowledge, they act upon it. So people see the ni'mah of Allah upon them. See it, it's seen. It's not hidden. It's seen. And that's very important. The ni'mah of Allah, and it is manifested in a person acting upon the knowledge that they have. The fadl of Allah is manifested in that. Now, question number 6, 7. Memorize the statement of Abu Qilaba, rahimahullah, as it relates to ilm and ibadah, worship, and its meaning. Or even the meaning of that statement. Naam, Ahmed.
Allah has granted you knowledge, and in return you worship to show gratitude. The greatest concern should it be just conveyed.
Naam. If Allah has given you knowledge, then your response to that is that you follow it with ibadah. Follow that ilm with ibadah. That you act upon it. And a person shouldn't be mainly concerned about just riwayah, conveying to the people the knowledge that they have. Question number 8, mention the second benefit of following ilm with amal. Second benefit that the Shaykh mentioned, Muhammad, mashallah. I almost didn't see you over here, mashallah. Allah is great.
Action shows, doing the action shows the khashiyah of Allah.
A person acting upon their knowledge, yani, shows, this entails what? Al-khashya. It shows that a person has, yani, khashya of Allah. A person has real fear of Allah based upon their knowledge. They know Allah. Because they know Allah, so they are concerned about that which, yani, is pleasing to Allah and displeasing to Allah. Now, and by the way, it wasn't one of the questions, but this statement that, yani, knowledge is not manifested in the abundance of riwayah, of a person's knowledge that they have accumulated, but rather it's manifested in the person having al-khashya, is confirmed in the Quran. In which ayat of the Quran? Shaykh said this is, yani, tasdeeq hadha al-naam.
Is it, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama?
Naam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. Yani, that indeed, these people and only these people, yani, the ulama from amongst his worshippers, these are the people who have khashya of Allah. Ninth question. Memorize the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and how it differentiates between riwaya, yani, narrating the knowledge, and al-khashya, yani, having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the general summary meaning of what Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said. Naam.
Said knowledge is not about extensive narration.
Naam.
But knowledge is for fear of Allah.
Naam. Yani, that is not kathratu riwayah. Rather, it is, yani, that a person has khashya of Allah. The last question, discuss the statement of Al Hasan Al Basri, rahimahullah, differentiating between al ulama and as sufaha. Yani, the scholars and the ignorant, foolish people. Yani the difference, yani the statement of Hasan al-Basri that differentiates between the ulama and the, on this side, no end. Now, Yusuf.
The scholars are concerned with ethical knowledge and those who only get narrated from the Sahara?
Naam. The scholars are concerned about ri'ayah, yani paying, giving care to that knowledge, meaning acting upon it. And the ignorant people are concerned about riwaya, just yani conveying it, yani talking about it to the people. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue after the second point. We're going to start with the third point that the Shaykh mentions from amongst the things that acting upon one's knowledge, the benefits that a person will receive. The Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, thalithan, yani the third matter, which will, yani a person will yastafid, yani will benefit from, by acting upon their knowledge, he says, kadhalika min al-umur, anna ittiba' al-ilm bil-amali yazidu fi ilm al-shakhs, wa yurassiquhu fi al-ilm al-shar'i. Yani, likewise, similarly, a person following up knowledge with action will be a means of increase of the knowledge of that person who acts upon it. Yani his knowledge will be increased and he will be made firmly grounded in the Sharia knowledge, yani by acting upon it. فَمَنْ أَتْبَعَ عِلْمَهُ بِالْعَمَلِ رَسَخَتْ قَدَمَهُ وَثَبَتَ قَلْبُهُ فِي الْعِلْمِ. So whoever follows up his knowledge with action, then his feet will become firmly grounded. And his heart will be, yani, established in knowledge. فَأَطَاهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عِلْمًا وَاسِيًا. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him vast knowledge. وَفَتَحَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خُنُوزِ الْمَعَارِفِ مَا لَا يَخْطُرُ بِبَالِ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And Allah will open the way for him to the treasures, yani of the important yani matters of knowledge that no person actually from amongst the people would imagine that yani that kind of knowledge would be given to somebody. The point is what? That a person who acts upon his knowledge, it will be a means of increase of his knowledge. And here he mentions the saying of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu that we mentioned previously when we were looking at the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah. He says, وَلِهَذَا قِيلَ أَنَّ عَلِيًّا إِبْنِ عَبِي طَالِبِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَقُولُ حَتَفَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ وَإِلَّا إِرْتَحَلَ. Yani that Ali ibn Abi Talib رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he said, or he used to say, that knowledge, حَتَفَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ, that knowledge calls out, yani to action, calls out to the person who possessed that knowledge to act upon it. فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ. So if, yani, he responds, or if it responds, yani, if the person acts upon the knowledge remains with him. وَإِلَّا إِرْتَحَلَ. But if he doesn't act upon it, then the knowledge moves on. It leaves him. It leaves him. The Shaykh says, the meaning here is what? أَنَّ الْعِلْمُ يَحْتِفُ وَيُنَادِي الْعَمَلَ الْعَمَلَ. That knowledge, it calls out, saying, العمل, العمل, work, work. أي, اعمل, اعمل. Yani it's as though the person is being commanded to act upon that knowledge. فإن عمل صاحب العلم. So if the person who has the knowledge acts upon it, then it, yani, will remain with him. وإلا زال عنه العلم وذهب وخطاه إلى غيره. Otherwise, if he doesn't act upon it, then it will, yani, dissipate. Yani it will go, and it will go on to someone other than him. وهذا هو معنى قوله سبحانه وتعالى واتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. Yani this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, observe taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. Observe taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 282nd ayat. فَإِذَا عَمِلَ الْإِنسَانِ بِمَا عَلِمَ فَاتَّقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُورِثُهُ إِلْمًا نَافِيًا وَعَمَلًا صَالِحًا. So if a person acts upon that which they learned, and they observed taqwa of Allah. Yani, in acting upon that knowledge, they observed taqwa of Allah ala basira. Yani, with yani acting based upon knowledge, based upon insight, knowing what a person is doing. Then this will yani yurithu ilman nafian. Yani, this will bring about, will produce for him beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. If a person acts upon their knowledge and observes taqwa of Allah based upon knowledge, yani acts, does what they, the worship that a person does, they do it based upon knowledge, then this will be a means through which they will be given beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Al-Imam As-Sa'di, not mentioned here, but Al-Imam As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he mentions in the tafsir of this ayat, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, he mentions, he says, تَقْوَ اللَّهِ وَسِيلَةٌ إِلَى حُصُولَ الْعِلْمِ. Yani, that observing taqwa of Allah is a means for a person to achieve knowledge. وَأَوْضَحْ مِنْ هَذَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. He said, and more clear than this ayat concerning this particular matter, what's clearer than that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, if you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a criterion. Yani, a criterion to judge the realities of things. Yani, to judge between al-haq wal-batil. Yani, a person, Allah will give them a means to be able to judge right from wrong. That which is good from that which is evil. What is pleasing to Allah from that which is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I had another note here that I wanted to mention, I think is of benefit. Anyway, this particular point is important for us to reflect upon, because it means that not only are we required to act upon what we know, but if a person is sincerely seeking knowledge, then acting upon the knowledge is one of the primary means through which a person will be increased in knowledge. And this is, as the Shaykh mentions, is the meaning of what Allah says in the Quran, observe taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. And Shaykh al-Imam As-Sa'di says, yani, that more clear than that is the ayah in which Allah says, O you who believe, if you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a criterion to judge between right and wrong. After this, he says, وَمِنْ هُنَا وَمِنْ هَذَا الْمُنْطَلِقِ. And from this point, and from what has been mentioned, فَإِنَّ السَّلَفْ اتَّفَقُوا بِأَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِعِلْمِهِ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. And based on this point, that a person is required to act upon their knowledge. And if a person acts upon their knowledge, then they, from the benefits of acting upon knowledge, is that a person will be increased in knowledge. From this, the Salaf agreed upon the fact that whoever does not act upon his knowledge, then he is ignorant. Whoever doesn't act upon his knowledge, however much information that person has accumulated, that person is ignorant. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ تَضَلَّعَ بِالرِّوَايَةِ وَأَحَاطَ بِالْأَقْوَالِ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Even if that person, yani, has become proficient and very knowledgeable, yani, in the narrations, yani, the sources of knowledge, and even if they have encompassed al-aqwal fil-ilm, all of the sayings of the scholars concerning any particular matter, in spite of that, the person who doesn't act upon his knowledge is ignorant. Yaqulu al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he says, la yazalu al-ilm, and I think that there may be some, I don't know if I corrected this not in the Arabic text of this, but there was a couple of words left out here. So if there's words left out from yours, I don't remember if I added it in. It should say, Fudayl ibn Iyad said, لا يزال العالم جاهلا بما علم حتى يعمل به. Are those words there? حتى يعمل به? No? No, it's not? Okay, so we have to put that in, inshallah. That has to be added. And there's a few little mistakes here, but that's very important. لا يزال العالم جاهلا بما علم. Yani, a scholar is continues to be ignorant of what he knows, حتى يعمل به, until he acts upon it. فإذا عمل به كان عالما. But if and when he acts upon it, then he truly becomes a scholar. يعني an عالم continues to be ignorant of that which he possessed of knowledge until he acts upon it. And when he acts upon it, then he becomes a real scholar. فالعالم عندنا لا يسمى عالما حتى يتبع علمه بالعمل. So the scholar, according to us, any of the people of Sunnah, is not called a scholar until he follows up his knowledge with action. It's not just the accumulation of information. Rather, a real scholar is the scholar who acts upon his knowledge. أَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ يُتْبِعْ عِلْمَهُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكُونُ جَاهِلًا. As far as the one who doesn't follow up his knowledge with action, then he is ignorant. وَفِيهِ شَبَهٌ مِنْ أَحْبَارِ الْيَهُودِ وَمِنْ عُلَمَاءِ الْيَهُودِ. And this person who doesn't act upon his knowledge, there's a resemblance in him. Yani he resembles the rabbis or the scholars of the Jews. الذي أمرنا أن نستعيد بالله عز وجل من صراطهم وطريقهم. That those people, those scholars from amongst the Jews, who we have been commanded to seek, يعني refuge in Allah from their way and their path, يعني from resembling the way and the path of the people of knowledge of the Jews who didn't act upon it. فَنَقُولُ فِي كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. We say in every prayer that we make, in every rak'ah of every prayer, in the recitation of Al-Fatiha, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Yani guide us upon the straight path, the path of those who you have given your favors to, not the path of those who you are angry with, who your wrath is upon, nor those who go astray. And in every rak'ah of every prayer, we are asking Allah to guide us upon the straight path, the path of those who He has blessed and given His favors to, and not the path of al-maghdub alayhim, those who Allah's wrath is upon, and not the path of those who are astray. Wal-maghdub alayhim hum al-yahud. And this is well known from the scholars of tafsir, of the people of Sunnah, that the meaning of al-maghdub alayhim are those, yani people Allah is angry with, they are the Jews, the Yahud. And some of the scholars said that they are the Yahud first and foremost, and they are everybody else who resembles them, who has knowledge and doesn't act upon it. وَالضَّالُونَ, and those who are astray, هُمْ النَّصَارَى, that they are the Christians. And again, the scholars say that, many of the scholars of tafsir said that the Dhalun are primarily, first and foremost, referring to the Christians, because they acted without knowledge. They had a lot of action, but no knowledge, not based upon knowledge. And so it refers to the Christians, and it refers to everybody who resembles them in this characteristic of worshipping without knowledge, worshipping based upon ignorance. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions something similar to what the Shaykh mentions here. He says, يَقُولُ بَعْدَ السَّلَفِ. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, when he mentions this, he says, بعد السلف, يعني كان السلف يقول, and he mentions specifically, يعني سفيان ابن عيينة. يقول بعد السلف من ضل من علمائنا ففيه شبه من اليهود. And whoever went astray, and in some of the narrations of this statement, يعني من فسد, and in some of the narrations, من انحرف, and those who were corrupted, and those who deviated from the straight path, from amongst our scholars, they resemble, they have in them a resemblance of the Jews, yani the scholars amongst the Jews. Those amongst our scholars who strayed, yani who deviated, who were corrupted, then they resemble the scholars from amongst the Yahud. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ مِنْ عُبَّادِنَا فَفِيهِ شَبَهٌ مِنَ النَّصَارَى. And whoever strayed from amongst the worshippers of the Muslims, the people who engage in a lot of worship, whoever strayed from amongst them, who were corrupted, who in harafa deviated, فَفِيهِ شَبَهٌ مِنَ النَّصَارَى. Then in that person is a resemblance to the Christians. Yani, the point here is that the Shaykh is saying, as the Salaf used to say, that the people from amongst us, the Muslim Ummah, who have knowledge, and yet, in spite of their knowledge, because they didn't act upon it, they deviated. Inharafa, fasada, walla. They went astray. In spite of their knowledge. Then these people resemble the scholars from amongst the Yahud, who had knowledge of the law, of the Torah. They had the knowledge, but they didn't act upon it. And whoever strays from amongst the Ubbad, from amongst the Muslims, yani the people who are worshippers, doing a lot of worship, but not based on knowledge. Just, yani, they're worshipping without knowledge. They're just doing things and saying things. And they don't know that it has any basis in what Allah has legislated. He said these people resemble the Christians. And who may have been well-meaning in doing what they do and singing their songs and their hymns and saying, praising Jesus, alayhi salam, but based upon ignorance. So a person has to be careful of these two things. Number one, a person has to be careful of having knowledge and not acting upon it. And that it's not a guide in that person's life. And the second thing is that a person is just doing a lot of deeds, but without knowledge, without knowing what Allah has legislated. The fourth point, fourth benefit, وَمَنْ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ عِلْمَهُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنَّهُ يُصِيبُ الْإِجَابَةَ الصَّحِيحَةَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this point, yani, was emphasized in a great way, yani, from a different angle, but in a great way in the khutbah today here in this masjid, Imam Hanif, may Allah protect and preserve him, mentioned the seriousness of the need for us to be thankful for the favors of Allah. And he mentioned several things, and from amongst them he mentioned that a person has to be grateful for the salat that they perform every day, especially if they're performing it on time, and they're performing it in the masjid in jama'ah. A person has to be grateful for this. And we don't realize how fortunate we are if Allah has given us the tawfiq to be performing our prayers regularly, on time, in the jama'ah. We don't realize how fortunate we are. And this is a summary of what he said, and the way he explained it, you got to just go back and listen to the recording of that khutbah. Extremely, extremely important. And if a person is serious about Islam, he said a person won't realize the seriousness of it until Yawm al-Qiyamah, when they stand before Allah. And Allah asks them, where's your salat? And the person can't answer, because he wasn't praying, or he wasn't praying on time, or he wasn't any given attention to the salat. And there will be no answer that you can give. And the person who was performing their prayers will at least be able to say, Ya Allah, I performed my prayers. I performed them on time. I went to the masjid. I did the best I could. Even if it's defective, but I did do them. The person will be able to answer. And they will be saved because of that. And another person will be destroyed. And the last point that I want to say that he said, how many billion people on the earth today? I don't know if he said 8 or 9 billion people. And most of them are kafirs. And the Muslims may be whatever billion, he said 2 billion. And half of them probably are misguided. I don't think he said misguided, but in any case, he said half of them are whatever, lost. So of these 8 or 9 billion people on Yawm al-Qiyamah that are on the earth right now, most of them are going to be in the hellfire. And only a few are going to be saved. And that's going to be the people who sought knowledge and acted upon their knowledge. And that's not mentioning the billions and billions of people since the beginning of time. That's just the 8 or 9 billion people on earth right now. So there's going to be billions and trillions and whatever number, I don't know what number to use, of people who are going to be thrown in the hellfire. And a person is going to be happy and going to be thankful on that day that they used to pray, that they used to fast, that they used to read the Qur'an, that they were trying to learn to be able to worship Allah based upon knowledge. A person can't understand the magnitude of the gratitude that we need to have for these prayers that Allah has blessed us to perform regularly, on time, in the jama'ah, in the masjid. You can't understand the magnitude of the gratitude that you are required, that's obligatory upon you, to show and to feel and to be aware of, unless you consider that on Yawm al-Qiyam what's going to be the condition of the people, When Allah asks them, and we will be asked. As we're going to see in this point, as the Shaykh makes it here, whoever follows up his knowledge with action, فَإِنَّهُ يُصِيبُ الْإِجَابَةَ الصَّحِيحَةَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. The person who acts upon his knowledge, he will be able to answer with the correct answer on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He'll be able to answer. He'll be able to answer for himself. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَخْبَرَ كَمَا فِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي بَرْزَةَ الْأَسْلَمِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ. Because indeed our Prophet ﷺ has informed us, as is mentioned in the hadith of Abi Barza al-Aslami radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, أنه قال لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربعة. يعني that the two feet of a human being would not go forward on the day of resurrection until they are asked about four matters. يعني nobody is going to go forward on يوم القيامة until they are asked about four matters. عن عمره فيما أفناه. يعني his life, the time that he had in this world, how did he spend it? وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِهِ. And his knowledge, what did he do with it? What did he do with the knowledge that he had or she had? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اتَّسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. And a person will be asked about their wealth. Two questions about their wealth. Where did they get it from? How did they earn it? Lawful or otherwise? And how did they spend it? And a person might say, I worked hard for this, I can do what I want with it. No. No. You're going to be asked, how did you spend it? Did you spend it in that which is lawful, and that which is pleasing to Allah, and that which has Allah has legislated, or you just wasted it? And he said, finally, وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ. And the narrations of this hadith have some slightly different wording. This is the way the Shaykh narrated. وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَهُ. And his body, his physical body, how did he use it? And his physical strength, his physical abilities, and how did he use it? أَخْرَجُهُ التِرْمِذِي وَغَيْرُهُ وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيِّ. This hadith is collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, in his Sunan, and others besides him, and the hadith is sahih. The Shaykh says, فَقَوْلُهُ عَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ. Yani that a person, from amongst those four questions, one of those questions is what? He will be asked about his knowledge. What did he do with it? Yani, how did he act upon that knowledge? This statement is دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّكَ إِذَا تَعَلَّمْتَ عِلْمًا فَإِنَّكَ سَوْفَ تُسَأَلْ عَنْهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is a proof, this is the evidence that if you learned some knowledge, that you will be asked about it on the day of resurrection. If you gain some knowledge, you are going to be asked about it. Know for sure that you are with certainty going to be asked about it. A person has to be serious about acting upon this knowledge. A person has to be serious about this because you are going to be asked about it. And if you didn't act upon it, then you're not going to have any answer. He said, هَلْ عَمِلْتَ بِهِ. And you'll be asked, did you act upon that knowledge? فَتُعْجَرُ وَتُثَابُ إِذَا كَانَتْ نِيَتُكَ صَالِحَ خَالِصَ لِلَّهِ. So a person, they will be rewarded. Yani they will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they acted upon their knowledge, he said, and along with acting upon it, he said, إِذَا كَانَتْ نِيَتُكَ صَالِحًا خَالِصًا لِلَّهِ. And not only did you act upon it, but you have to act upon it yani with sincerity, sincerely for the sake of Allah. And a person has a righteous intention, and it's sincerely for Allah alone, with ikhlas. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَعْمَلْ بِهِ فَإِنَّكَ تُعَذَّبُ عَلَى قَدْرِ مَا تَرَكْتُهُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And if a person didn't act upon the knowledge that they had obtained, if you didn't act upon it, then you will be punished in accordance with the worth or the rank of what you left of knowledge. And in accordance to what kind of knowledge you learned and didn't act upon. Sheikh says in detail about this matter, and a person will be called to account for the knowledge that they had. And if they acted upon it with sincere niyyah for the sake of Allah alone, they will be rewarded. And if they didn't act upon it, then they will be punished in accordance with the type of knowledge and the amount of knowledge that they had abandoned. فَإِن تَرَكْتَ عِلْمًا وَاجِبًا. So if a person left off acting upon some knowledge of that which is obligatory, فَلَمْ تَعْمَلْ بِهِ, and didn't act upon it, فَإِنَّكَ تَأْثَمْ, then you will be sinful. وَإِن تَرَكْتَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْإِسْتِحْبَابِ وَالنَّدَبِ فَإِنَّكَ قَدْ فَرَّطْتَ في الثواب وبالثواب ولا عقاب ولا إثم إن شاء الله تعالى. And if a person abandons some knowledge that indicates or points to that which is mustahab or which is mandub, yani that which is loved by Allah, which is commendable or praiseworthy, not obligatory, but is something that's praiseworthy. If a person left off that kind of knowledge, then you would have fallen short. You would have lost out on the reward that you would have gotten for acting upon that knowledge. But there will be no punishment, and there's no sin, inshallah ta'ala. So a person doesn't act upon their knowledge. When they are asked about it, if they didn't act upon it, it depends on what kind of knowledge it was. If it was if it was knowledge of those things that are obligatory, then they will fall, they will be sinful. And Allah may punish them or He may forgive them as He wills. But if it was something that was mustahab, yani something that's beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's praiseworthy and commendable, and they didn't act upon it, then there won't be a sin, and there won't be a punishment for that, but they will what? They will lose out on the reward that they would have gained. So it's not even a matter, as people say, it's only sunnah. No, it's from what Allah has legislated, and that Allah wants us to do, and that He would be pleased with, and that He rewards, and you will lose out on all of that. The fifth matter. Alhamdulillah, we have plenty of time. The fifth matter. He said, خَامِسًا وَإِذًا مِنْ فَوَاد ذَلِكَ. Yani, so from the benefits of this, yani from the benefits of a person knowing that they're going to be asked about the knowledge that they acquired, did they act upon it? From the benefits of knowing this, he said, أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ يَجْتَنِبُ مَا نَهَاهُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مِنْ عَدَمْ اتِّبَاعِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْعَمَلِ. Yani, from the benefits of this is that a Muslim will avoid, will distance themselves from that which Allah has prohibited. Meaning, the absence of following up knowledge with action. Yani, Allah has prohibited that a person get knowledge and don't act upon it. He has prohibited this. So the person who acts upon knowledge that they obtained, they will avoid falling into this area of prohibition. Yani of failing to act upon knowledge. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ ذَمَّ ذَلِكَ بِأَمْرَيْنِ. For indeed Allah has criticized or blamed, yani, have blamed this, yani that a person doesn't act upon a knowledge. Allah has criticized this in two areas. أَوْ ذَمَّ ذَلِكَ وَبَيَّنَ مَذَمَّةَ ذَلِكَ فِي أَمْرَيْنِ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has criticized and made clear the blameworthiness of this, of a person failing to act upon their knowledge, in two areas. He made it, yani he criticized this. Al-amr al-awwal, the first way that Allah criticized the person who fails to act upon their knowledge, He said, أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى ذَمَّ الْيَهُودِ عَلَى أَنَّهُمْ يُشْبِهُونَ الْحِمَارَ الَّذِي يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا فَمَثَلُهُمْ. Yani from the Quran, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Yani the first matter is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blames and criticizes the Jews. Yani for the fact that they resemble or they are similar to donkeys which are carrying big books. Yani the donkey is carrying loads of books but not benefiting from it at all. Just weight, carrying weight, no benefit. So their example, the example of the Jews, as Allah mentions in the Quran, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُوا أَسْفَارًا. Yani that the likeness or the example of those who are given the Torah to implement, to act upon, and then they didn't implement it, they didn't act upon it, their likeness is like the himar, the donkeys who are carrying big volumes of books. فَهُمْ يَحْمِلُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ التَّوْرَةِ. So they are, yani, carrying in their chests, yani, the knowledge of the Torah. وَيَعْرِفُونَهَا, and they know it well. وَيَعْرِفُونَ أَحْكَامَهَا, and they know its ahkam, the legal rulings, the laws, the legislations that it contained. They know all of this. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِهَا, but they are not acting upon any of it. فَالْمُسْلِمْ لَا يَرْضَى لِنَفْسِهِ أَن يَكُونَ شَبِيهًا لِلْيَهُودِ. So the Muslim is not pleased for himself that he resembles the Jews. A Muslim cannot be pleased that he resembles the people who Allah described them to be like donkeys carrying books, that they are not getting any benefit from whatsoever. So imagine a Muslim who is collecting information, accumulation of information, and not acting upon it. So Allah is telling us that this is like a donkey who's carrying books that they get no benefit from. And he criticized the Jews for this. And so a person has a resemblance to the Jews who Allah criticized for not acting upon their knowledge. He said that a Muslim is not pleased for himself. أَنْ يَكُونَ شَبِيهًا لِلْيَهُودِ لِأَنَّهُ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Because the one who resembles or imitates a people, then he's one of them. And this is the hadith that's narrated, and it's sahih, narrated in the Sunan of Abu Dawud from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ. Whoever resembles a people, whoever imitates a people, فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Then he's one of them. He's one of them. And the scholars discuss this in detail in many places, not the place for that. But the point is, yani, there are some things in which a person resembles a people, then he takes the same ruling as them in terms of yani kufr. And in some instances, it may be fisk or sinfulness or whatever. But the point is, whoever resembles a people, then he, yani, it's as though he's one of them. So a Muslim is not pleased to resemble the Jews whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to donkeys carrying books. The second matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he mentions that's blameworthy for the person who doesn't act upon his knowledge. الأمر الثاني أن الله سبحانه وتعالى نهى المؤمنين عن هذه الصفة. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the believers from this quality or characteristic. He prohibited the believers from having this quality. And Allah mentions in the 61st surah of the Quran, 2nd and 3rd ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say things and you don't act upon them? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ. And it is hated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say that which you don't do. And that you say that you're a Muslim and then you don't practice Islam. You say that you're from Ahlul Sunnah and you don't perform Sunnah prayers. You don't fast, yani, the Sunnah, fast of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't act upon the Sunnah. Maybe on the misunderstanding that a person imagines, well, it's only Sunnah. It's not obligatory. But you claim to be Ahlul Sunnah. You claim to be Salafiyyah. But you don't follow the way of the Salaf. So Allah is blaming the believers. Why do you say that which you do not do? This is something that's hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muslim yakhsha ala nafsihi min an la ya'mal bi'ilmihi fatakunu aqibatuhu su'a. So a Muslim fears for himself that he, yani, be in a condition where he doesn't act upon his knowledge. So he will have an evil end. A evil ending. ولا سيما أنه قد ثبت بصحيح مسلم وفي صحيح مسلم أن من أوائل الناس الذين يعذبون في النار عالم لم يعمل بعلمه. Especially, يعني a Muslim fears this condition of one who doesn't act upon his knowledge, especially if we consider that from that which is confirmed in the Sahih of Muslim, that from the first people who will be punished and thrown in the hellfire is a person who had knowledge and didn't act upon it. And an alim, yani the scholar, who didn't act upon his knowledge. And the last point that the Sheikh makes concerning this point number six, he says, from the benefits of a person acting upon the knowledge, الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي يَلِي ذَلِكَ, and after this is أَنَّ تَرْكَ الْعَمَلِ بِالْعِلْمِ مِمَّا يُورِثُ الْوُقُوَ الْمَحْذُورِ مِنَ الْخُصُومَاتِ وَالْجِدَالَاتِ الَّتِي تُفْسِدُ الدِّينِ وَتُفْسِدُ الْقَلْبِ وَتُفْسِدُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْأُمُورِهِمْ. Yani the last matter that he mentions here, that abandoning acting upon knowledge is from that which will cause or bring about a person falling into forbidden matters, including الخصومات والجدالات, يعني disputation and argumentation. And in not acting upon knowledge is one of the things that will cause a person to fall into, yani, that which is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is arguing and disputing. The arguing and disputing that corrupts the deen and corrupts the heart and corrupts many of the affairs of the Muslims. فَإِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُ إِذَا أَشْغَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِالْعَمَلِ وَرَبَّاهَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهَا تَرْتَفِعُ عَنْ مِثْلَ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ السَّقِيمَةِ مِنَ الْخُصُومَاتِ الْبَاطِلَةِ وَالْمُجَادَلَاتِ الْمُخَالِفَةِ لِمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَفُ مِنَ الْجِدَالِ فِي الْحَقِّ وَتَبْيِينِهِ وَتَوْدِيعِهِ. So the Muslim, if he occupies himself with action, acting upon knowledge, and nurtures himself upon this, then he will be raised up above the like of these, yani, sick or poor or filthy affairs, yani, false argumentations and disputations, al-khusumat al-batila, people just arguing about stuff that we find all the time, that people are arguing and debating about things that, yani, there's no benefit in. والمجادلات المخالفة لما كان عليه السلف من الجدال في الحق وتبيينه وتوضيحه. And also a person will be, yani, removed, distanced from these disputations, argumentation that is contrary, that is opposed to what the Salaf were upon, yani, in terms of defending the truth, yani, الجدال في الحق, yani, a person arguing, yani, in defense of the truth and making clear the truth. That's different. That's a different matter. He said, but the argumentation and the disputation that is baseless, that has no any real benefit, person, and these are things that a person will escape from if they occupy themselves with acting upon knowledge. فَإِذَا أَشْغَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَرْتَفِعُ عَنْ مِثْلَ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ. So if a person occupies himself with action, with acting upon knowledge, then he will rise above the like of these affairs. وَيَرْتَفِعُ عَنْ غَيْرِهَا مِمَّا يُخْرِجُ الْعِلْمُ عَنْ الْمَقْصِدِ الْأَسْمَى لَهُ وَهُوَ اتِّبَاعُهُ وَإِتْبَاعُهُ بِالْعَمَلِ. Yani, also the Muslim who occupies himself with acting upon knowledge, he will also, yani, escape from, he will rise above those things which take the objective, the lofty, the exalted, the high objective or purpose of knowledge, take it outside of that. And a person will escape from those things that people engage in that are other than the lofty purpose of knowledge, which is following it action. Yani, the purpose of knowledge is that a person acts upon it. And when a person doesn't act upon it, then they actually use the knowledge for other things. For other things that are, yani, not its purpose. فالمسلم إذا أشكل نفسه بالعمل انشغلت نفسه عن السوء بالخير. So the Muslim who occupies himself with acting upon the knowledge, then he will, his nafs will be occupied with good, escaping from evil. Yani, a person will be distanced from evil by occupying himself with good. أما إذا لم يشغل نفسه بالعمل انشغلت نفسه بالسوء وتركت هذا الخير العظيم. As far as the person who doesn't occupy himself with action, with acting upon the knowledge, then his nafs will become occupied with evil, and he will have left off this great khair, yani, the good that a person would achieve by acting upon knowledge. Now, huh? طيب. طيب. جزاك الله خير. And is it likely that it just went out completely, or? Oh, somebody told you. Okay, جزاك الله خير. طيب. In any case, I mean, this is the last point that the Sheikh mentions concerning the benefits of a person acting upon knowledge. And then he has some further discussion, any advice for the Muslims who identify any with the Salaf, the people, Ahl Sunnah, which any is a little bit lengthy, maybe 5 or 6 more pages. We're not going to be able to cover it tonight. But maybe we'll stop here with this. And I'll just mention one point that I failed to mention earlier. And he related to the statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, حَتَفَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنَّ أَجَابَهُ وَإِلَّا ارْتَحَلَ. Yani that knowledge calls out for action, for a person to act upon it. And if a person does respond by acting upon it, then it remains. And if he doesn't, then it goes on. It leaves him. Some of the explainers of this hadith mention that knowledge, أَنَّ الْعِلْمُ نَادَ الْعَمَلْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يُجِبْ الْعَمَلْ اِرْتَحَلَ الْعِلْمُ أَيْ ذَهَبَ وَنُسِيَ. Yani that knowledge calls out, shouts out, yani for action. So if there's no response, person doesn't act upon that knowledge, the knowledge goes on. Yani اِرْتَحَلَ, yani ذَهَبَ وَنُسِيَ. It leaves that person and he forgets it. بَلْ هُنَاكَ مَا هُوَ أَخْطَرْ مِنْ هَذَا. He said, rather, there's something that's worse than this, that's more dangerous than this, that a person who acquires knowledge doesn't act upon it, so they lose the knowledge. There's something worse than that. And that is, he said, هُوَ الَّذِي تَعَلَّمَ وَيُعَلَّمَ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ وَيَنْسَ نَفْسَهُ. And it was worse than the person who doesn't act upon his knowledge, who loses knowledge, is that a person learns knowledge and teaches other people that knowledge and forget their own self. Yani they teach other people, they benefit other people by the knowledge, but they forgot their own self. So they didn't get any benefit. That's worse than the person who just doesn't act upon it. But rather a person who learns the knowledge and teaches other people the khair and then doesn't act upon it themselves. He said this is contained in the meaning of the hadith of Jundub ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْعَالِمِ الَّذِي يُعَلِّمَ النَّاسَ الْخَيْرِ وَيَنْسَ نَفْسَهُ. Yani the likeness of the scholar who teaches the people goodness, teaches people Islam, teaches the people the sunnah, the correct aqidah and ibadah, and then forgets their own self. كَمَثَلِ السِّرَاجِ يُضِيعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَيُحَرِّكْ نَفْسَهُ. Yani the likeness of the scholar who teaches the people khair and forgets their own self is like a lamp or a lantern that lights the way for the people. But in the process of producing light, what does the lamp do? Burns its own self out. Yani the person who learns and teaches the people the khair but doesn't act upon it themselves, they benefit the people but they lose out their self, is like the lamp that benefits the people by lighting the way and then it burns itself out. He said this hadith is sahih. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah declared it to be sahih in Iqtida al-Ilm al-Amal by Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah. So this is yani point that I failed to mention, and after this I just want to stop here to say yani just briefly, because we do actually still have a couple of minutes left. So let's say that take 1 or 2 minutes and remind us that any of these 6 matters that that the Shaykh has mentioned here, may Allah have mercy upon him, rahmatan wasi'ah. And he has mentioned 6 matters from amongst many. And some scholars have written books about this particular topic, like Al-Khatib Baghdadi, rahimahullah, mentioned, wrote a complete book about this subject. What is important is that a person, when they come to know these things, here we have mentioned 6 matters, so everybody is required, yani for their own benefit, for their own self, to learn those matters, to memorize those matters, to know what they are and understand them well. Even if a person didn't memorize the language of what the Shaykh said, but they memorized the point and they understand it, and if they can memorize some of the evidences from the Quran or from the Sunnah or from the sayings of the Salaf, so that a person in reviewing those things from time to time, they won't find themselves anyone who has learned something and then lost the benefit of it because they forgot it. So if a person learns it, memorizes it, understands it, and acts upon it, then inshallah that's where the benefit is at. So any of the 6 matters that we mentioned tonight, can anybody mention those 6 matters, or even one of them? One of the 6 matters that we mentioned last week or tonight, from the benefits of acting upon knowledge. Start with Zakaria.
The first benefit is the power of ni'mah, so to show that lesson of knowledge.
Now, the first benefit is that yani, a person acting upon knowledge, and he's showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for singling them out with this knowledge that other people didn't have, by acting upon it, it's a manifestation, an outward yani, display of the ni'mah and the fadl of Allah upon them. Okay, Adam had his hand up at the same time with Zakaria, so we're going to come back to Adam first now. And then there's Ahmed, and then there's Ahmed over there too, mashallah.
Another benefit is a means of increasing his knowledge, and his feet will be firmly grounded.
And a second benefit is that the person who acts upon his knowledge, this will be a means. It will be a wasila, a means through which that person will increase their knowledge and retain their knowledge. As we mentioned in the previous discussion, that not only they will get more knowledge, but they will also preserve the knowledge that they have. Okay, we're going to go to Ahmed. And which one of y'all the oldest? Okay, sorry. Yani, khashya of Allah. Yani, that, yes, that the khashya of Allah. What about the khashya of Allah? Okay, somebody help. What's the khashya of Allah? This is one of the benefits of knowledge. Meaning what? What do we mean by that? Just a little bit of elaboration. Yusuf. Acting upon it shows a person's respect for Allah. Shows that a person has fear of Allah. Has, yani, values. Values their relationship with Allah, that they act upon the knowledge that Allah has given them for their benefit, for their own benefit. For their own benefit. Yasir. Not acting upon knowledge causes a person to resemble the specifically the Yahud who had knowledge of the Torah and its ahkam and its laws and didn't act upon it. And acting upon ignorance is the resemblance to the Nasara. Naam. Another point. Naam, Jaish.
Whoever follows their knowledge with actions, he will find the correct sense on the day.
Allahu Akbar. This is one of the best of the points that the Shaykh mentioned. Allah yafaduk. MashaAllah. Allah yafaduk. MashaAllah. And whoever acts upon knowledge will be able to give the correct answer on Yawm al-Qiyamah. When Allah asks, what did you do with your knowledge? The person will be able to say, I acted upon it. I did the best I could to act upon it. I need to worship you based upon that knowledge. And a person wants to be able to answer on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because it ain't going to be like in this world. And a person can bring a lawyer who can slick talk. And maybe do something to help them to escape. Or maybe could pay the judge or whatever, however they do it. There ain't going to be none of that. And you're going to be standing in front of Allah, and Allah is going to say, Yani, do you remember you did this on this particular occasion, in this particular place, at this particular time? And you have to say, Naam. And yes, and you did this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. Until a person will feel like they are destroyed. That's how serious it's going to be. When Allah asks, what did you do with the knowledge? What would you say if you didn't act upon it? So it's easy for us now. I mean, easy in the sense that it's possible. Not easy in the sense that everybody's going to do it. But easy in the sense that it's possible that when a person learns something, they try to act upon it. I mean, we have to try to act upon this knowledge. And from the greatest of the things that the Imam mentioned in the khutbah today, that we're going to be asked about, we're going to be called to account about, the first thing that a person is going to be asked about Yawm al-Qiyamah is their salat. We need to learn how to perform this salat. And then we need to act upon it. We need to know how the Prophet ﷺ made sajda. And how many Muslims pray every day and don't know how to perform sajda? And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Umirtu an asjudu ala sab'a adham." I have been commanded to prostrate on 7 bones. He said the jabha, and he pointed to his nose. And the head, and you know how many people prostrate? I saw in this masjid lots of times in other masjids, people prostrating and their nose is not touching the ground. The jabha, and he pointed to his enf. Wal yadain wa rukbatain wa atraf al qadamain. A person needs to know how your feet are supposed to be when you're in sajda. Atraf al qadamain, the extremities of the 2 feet. And the knees, and the palms of the hands. Not the arms, the forearms. How many people are prostrating on their forearms? This is prohibited. We don't know how to prostrate. And prostration and ruku is from the most important acts in the prayer. And we don't know how to do it. So a person needs to get that knowledge and then we need to do it. Especially if you know that you're not supposed to be putting your forearms on the ground. And then you prostrate like that anyway. Especially if you know that you have to put your nose in the ground and you're not doing it. You're not really paying attention to what you're doing. Person has to be paying attention. How they're doing ruku. How they're making salah. How they're fasting. How they're reading. All of that. And we need to learn and then we need to act upon it. I'm going to stop. Oh, did we got one more point? Is there still one more point? Oh yeah, there's still one more point. Yeah. You have one in the back? Naam. So in order to retain the knowledge we have to act upon it, otherwise it will leave us. Naam. Yani, so what of the benefits is that yani, a person will increase in knowledge and they will retain the knowledge that they have. Naam. But there's still one more point that we didn't mention. Muhammad.
Was that the last one you mentioned about?
We didn't mention the last one, you're right. What is it?
Bring about you going into disputes and arguments.
Yani, the acting upon knowledge will occupy a person with the acting upon knowledge that will help them to escape from using knowledge for other than its purpose. Arguing and disputing and other things that is not the real purpose of knowledge. So these are some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani, blessed us to hear from this sheikh who died when he was 38 years old. And from the things that's mentioned about his life is that he started memorizing he memorized the Quran and started seriously seeking knowledge when he was how old?
13.
Who's 13 here? Where's he at? Our young brother here. We saw last week. 13. Jaysh, how old are you? He's 10 and he's already seeking knowledge. Seriously. MashaAllah. So what is our excuse at 30 years old and 40 years old and we're not even serious about this? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us الثبات upon الصراط المستقيم until we leave this world and return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to yani make their graves yani spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief that can only come from Him, that He grant relief that can only come from Him. And it doesn't mean that we can't do anything. But it's not like a brother sent me, I'm sorry to stop and mention this, it's really important. A brother sent me a video and it was like 15 minutes long. And I don't normally listen to nothing 15 minutes unless it's from a scholar. But I forced myself to listen to it to the end of it. And basically, yani, a brother who might be very, very sincere is saying that he was in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and there was 1 million people in there praying. And if just those 1 million people went to Palestine, we would end this situation in Palestine. Yani, that is absolutely ignorant. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani, informed the Prophet that we would be in this condition where the nations of the earth would feast on us. And we would be like the foam of the sea. Yani, useless, worthless. And we would not escape from that condition until we return to the deen of Allah. That's the solution. Not 1 million people praying in the Prophet's masjid. Not 1 million people from the armies of Egypt and Sudan and Iraq and Syria. No. It's returning to our deen. That is the solution. I'm not saying that armies can't do anything. And I'm not saying we're not responsible to do something. But what I'm saying is the real solution, that only solution that's going to solve the condition of the Muslims today, is that we return to our deen. That personally, me and my own personal life, and my family, and my neighbors, and my friends, and my relatives, and my tribe, and my neighborhood, that we return, we establish the deen of Allah in our lives. That is the only solution. Otherwise, Muslims are not going to be respected in the earth again until we return to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be careful that it is Allah alone who has decreed this, and it is Allah alone who will remove this situation, whether in Palestine or elsewhere. It's not just in Palestine. We need to see what's happening in Sudan. What's happening in India? What's happening in these other countries, brother? What is happening to Muslims all over the earth? And we need to understand that this is by the decree of Allah, and Allah is the only one who can remove it. And He's not going to remove it until we return to Him, to the deen of Allah, and establish it in our individual lives, in our communities, in our yani nations and our tribes or whatever, until we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims in Palestine, to the Muslims in Yemen, in Sudan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in India, in China, in Burma, and in every place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims who are being tortured, who are being murdered, who are being persecuted, that He grant relief to them, that relief that only can come from Him. And that He protect them and preserve them from before them and from behind them and from the right and from the left and from above them and from below them. Indeed, Allah huwa al-musta'an. And it's incumbent upon us to understand that Allah is the one that we turn to for help. And He's the one who does whatever He wills. And He's the only one who does whatever He wills. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.